Mr. Chairman, thank you for holding this important hearing. I'm definitely for a smarter, cleaner, more secure, more resilient grid. I personally think that that takes a level of investment. We've had a couple of big studies recently talk about, there was an MIT study and then a University of California study that investing $100 billion in transmission expansion could achieve a higher, cleaner grid and help reduce wholesale costs. So I was wondering if I could get you gentlemen to give me an assessment of whether you think modernization of our grid is an investment we should be seeking. And do you think that the private sector will make those investments, or are we talking about some federal cost share here? And do you think that that is in the tens of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars? How would you characterize the modernization and the investment that we need to make? And if you could just go quickly, that'd be great.
Jim, you want to go first?
So I'm asking you, do you believe we need that investment? At what level, and what's the mix?
I'll jump in.
Mix of federal and private investment.
I'll jump in, Senator Cantwell, and it's a great question. We do need the backbone. If there any part of the vision from the president and from many in the industry is going to enable, we're going to need it to be enabled by a substantially stouter transmission grid that will move the resources from where they are to where the people are. And I think that's probably a nine-figure number. It's a lot of money. But it's over time, and it's quite frankly, as we learned in Texas, when you spend money on transmission, you save a lot more than you spend on getting low-cost power into your power system.
So I'll go next. You know, this country has remarkable natural resources all around the country. They're not always near where people live, where the power needs to go. And this concept of a national transmission grid is something that's very worthy of consideration. We've not studied the reliability impacts of it, other than to note that diversity is reliability's friend. So that's a good thing. I would probably concur with your assessment as to the cost of it. I think the gating factor, though, that I think this committee needs to be aware of is that it's probably not the need for transmission or the desire to fund transmission, but the ability to site transmission that is the biggest obstacle to the development of that system.
Well, certainly.
Yeah, and I'm happy to comment as well, Senator. Look, I think the industry has done a pretty good job investing in what I'll describe as traditional transmission. I think what we also have to look at and understand is how can we use the existing transmission system differently. For example, there are seven ties between the Eastern and Western grid that are perfect examples of 1980s technology, which could clearly be upgraded and, quite frankly, could be done within a 2 to 4 year time frame. So we'd have some immediate benefit there. I also think that in addition to, obviously, permitting takes time and funding is important, but right now there's a bit of a challenge with getting people to agree to the offtake. Transmission construction requires long-term offtake agreements. The agreements are, folks are hesitant to get into that. So if something can be done clearly to incent folks to agree to take the power, that would really, I believe, free up the entire situation.
Thank you. I'm going to skip Mr. Gabriel because I actually think I know what he thinks, but I mean, just being the Western power grid, I kind of think I know what you've been up to. I just want to point out, though, that Texas, I understand that 96% of its projects in the ERCOT pipeline are either wind or solar. So I, you know, with Texas being an ultimate free market, I mean, it tells me something that people are going after that. But I would like to talk about where did the money go in Texas? Mr. Wood, it's good to see you again. Obviously, you and I talked a lot about the Western energy crisis and where the money went in that situation. But I want to understand, because according to watchdog firms, Texas power markets overcharged energy users $16 billion. That left prices at $9,000 per megawatt hour grid emergency standard for longer than necessary. Are you familiar with this analysis, and do you agree with those conclusions?
I am familiar with the analysis. I think that the conclusions quantified it as if every megawatt hour had been sold at 9,000. Of course, 90% of the business in Texas is done bilaterally by contract. So I think a number of customers were exempt from that. But
do you think, that's what I'm actually worried about, like that the consumer here, just like in the Western energy market. So do you think consumers should be reimbursed.
That issue, the legislature's hearing, is having a hearing on it today. Were I in that seat, I would have agreed with the independent market monitor.
Do you think that there are, do you know of any Enron traders who were involved in both the Texas and California markets that are employed at ERCOT trading now?
I will have to check. I'm not aware of any.
Well, look, I think, Mr. Chairman, I think we've seen what happened here, at least in the detail. I'm not talking about the crisis itself, but in the aftermath. And I think we just need better tools to protect consumers and businesses from these kinds of spikes in rate. Mr. Wood knows that I've fought diligently against our state having to pay 3,000 times the rate in long-term contracts that were fraudulently manipulated. So we passed laws here to try to protect people. I think we, Mr. Chairman, you said it best, price gouging should not be tolerated in these kinds of emergencies. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.